Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home. Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home.
Welcome to the Free Birth Society podcast. This is a radical space for women who are ready to celebrate their autonomous choices in birth, motherhood, and beyond. Together, we'll learn about wild birth through personal narrative, we'll explore the politics of birth, and we'll analyze everything that relates to our lives as women from a feminist perspective. Here's your host, Emily Saldaya.
It's been a while, freedom child.
All right, Brittany, welcome.
Hi.
I didn't ask you, where do you live?
California.
Oh,
right,
okay.
On the beach.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Cool. Okay, big story today. So I'm going to just kick back and let you decide where to start and where to, yeah, where do you want to get into this whole big wild tale?
Yeah, well, I've had a really long journey, fertility journey. I guess I'll start with the fact that I have three brain tumors and I was diagnosed when I was 20. But my journey with been very ingrained in the medical system. And my journey really started when I was in high school and I was having these debilitating headaches. And my doctor kept saying that there's nothing wrong with me and tried to convince my parents that I was crying out for attention because I was an only child. And that was the first time that I was kind of told not to listen to my intuition. And so, and my parents, you know, they tried really hard to support me, but they also come from that generation that doctors are authority figures and they know best, you know? Mm-hmm. So in college, they found the tumors and I went on to have a couple surgeries, brain surgeries, and then I had chemotherapy off and on for about 9 years. Mm-hmm. But I had a very close relationship with my oncologist and I took what he said as, you know, basically that's what I had to do, and not listening at all to my intuition and how, I don't know, it's like my story was written for me, you know? Mm-hmm. When I found out I had the tumors, the doctor told me that I would be deaf, blind, paralyzed, facial paralysis, and then possibly dead in my 30s. And I remember going, no, that's not me. And this guy didn't know much about my condition, but that's what he read in textbooks. So that's what he regurgitated to me. And it didn't happen. I lost most of my hearing, but all this other stuff is just never happened. So anyway, my oncologist, when we were going to get pregnant, we wanted to get pregnant. My oncologist said, there's no way that your body can handle carrying a child. Okay, so we started IVF and we did IVF.
Whoa.
To do a surrogate. We were going to have a surrogate because I couldn't carry, right? That's what he told
they
me.
They just knew. They were just confident. There was no way.
Yes.
Because of brain tumors.
Because of brain tumors, yeah. And so I believed them. I believed that, okay, I wouldn't be able to do this on my own. So my only way to have children would be to have a surrogate. So my husband and I did IVF for 7 years and we lost a lot of embryos. We did a lot of rounds. We finally, my sister-in-law was our surrogate. God bless her. She lost the baby at 10 weeks. And after that, I just had this epiphany that we're doing this all wrong. This is very transactional. This is not how it's supposed to be. This doesn't feel right. So I started working out and that kind of gave me more confidence in my body. I changed my diet, and that gave me discipline, mind discipline. And I did some soul searching and then came to my husband and said, I think we need to do this naturally. Like, are you on board? And he thought, well, the only real risk is that you'll lose your hearing. So you're already losing it. We're just going to probably accelerate it. But I'm with you if that's something you want to do.
Forgive my ignorance, but why would a pregnancy negatively impact your hearing?
Because my tumors are on the hearing nerve, and if they grow from the hormones,
Okay.
then they would squeeze the nerve, and then that would cause hearing
All
loss.
right. Okay.
Yeah. So we decided we're going to consciously try to get pregnant, and we got pregnant right away. And my doctors were so scared. My parents were so scared. My parents were trying to talk me out of it because they
Wow.
were worried. I understand the perspective. Only child, are you risking your life doing this? But I just knew that this was the way to go. And it just happened so natural, so fast, getting naturally pregnant. And then the next thing is doctor said, okay, you have to have a C-section because the pushing is going to create problems with the brain tumors. And what if, we have to have a neurologist or a neurosurgeon on call? And I was considered high risk, so I had to have all these ultrasounds. So I didn't know anything about birth. I was fine with the C-section. And so I went along with it for a while. And then they did a scan of my spine and they found a tumor where they would have to put the epidural. And so they said, oh, okay, now you could either have to go natural or you have to go under anesthesia to deliver your baby.
Oh my goodness, okay.
And I said, well, I'm not going under anesthesia. I'm not missing the whole thing.
Mm-mm.
And that scared me a lot, the medicine going into the baby and transferring. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to go natural. And you're really worried about the brain tumors and pushing. Now, this is a guy telling me, right? So he knows nothing about birth. So I did hypnosis, and that really helped me calm my body. The OB also told me when I told him I was going to do this naturally and I don't want any medication. He said, oh no, you're going to need medication. I'm going to have laughing gas for you. I said, no, don't even bring up any medication to me, please. And I got really upset because it was another guy telling me that I couldn't handle something. And I knew from just working out how much I could handle. Pushing my limits, So I've had three kids, and my first birth was in the hospital, but it was natural. And there were so many things about it that I liked, but so many things I didn't like, and how I was treated. So my second birth, I decided I'm going to do a home birth. By the way, everything was okay.
Do you want to give a quick review of that birth? Do you, if you want to take a couple minutes to share about it?
Sure. It was fast. It was 6 hours. I was doing hypnosis the whole time, so my body was pretty calm. And when I my intuition was to saying, hey, this is moving. So we went to the hospital, and the doctors again said, you go get a hotel room. You're not going to birth this baby until like late tomorrow. Said, I don't think so. I think it's coming. And within 2 hours, I had jumped, so many centimeters, and I was getting into transition, and they had to call the doctor, but the doctor was not available, so they told me not to start pushing, but I felt like I needed to push, so I said, screw it, I'm pushing. because I felt like it, and he came in right at the last minute. But there was some meconium, so they all freaked out and cut the cord really fast, literally threw the baby to the NICU team, who cleaned her off. But and then they stuck me with Pitocin after because they said I was losing a lot of blood. I really wasn't. The doctor just wanted to get home. I mean, he was, it was his wife's birthday, and he just wanted to get home. I mean, really, when you think about it.
I mean, even if he didn't want to get home, that is the standard. All women get Pitocin postpartum if they're not already on it in their birth.
I told him I didn't want any medication, so that was one thing that really upset me
Yeah.
because he stuck me with it, and I told him I didn't want it, but I was in such a high from giving birth that I didn't even know what was going on. I was in my, I don't know, I was in the portal, I guess, you know. So I felt really violated with that. I just look back and think, how did you not know that I was going to have this baby? And what would have happened if I would have left? Well, I would have free birthed, I guess, which would have been great. But I just knew that I was having this baby. So that was my first kind of glimpse into birth and intuition. And my husband was so supportive, and he was in awe of what the body could do, that when it came to my second birth and saying, hey, I want to do this at home, he was totally on board because it wasn't scary to him at all. He was scared during the pregnancy. He would bring up the fears to me, and we talked through them because of what the medical team was telling us all the time because they were scared.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
And did your hearing decrease from the pregnancies?
Yeah.
They did, or it
It
did,
did.
yeah.
It did, but we were comfortable with it. It's just been something we've had to navigate. It's like our new normal, but it's also been a gift in many ways as well. So I feel like I probably would have just gone to the hospital and gotten an epidural and done all those things if I hadn't even had these tumors, you
Totally.
know? It's such a blessing, and the universe has definitely guided me through this whole experience. And birth has been my biggest catalyst for growth, for sure.
I guess we didn't say this at the beginning. People might be wondering how we're even having this conversation, but you have a hearing aid in and you're seeing, you're reading my captions
I'm reading it, yeah, and your lips.
and my lips. Okay, so hospital birth, you have your baby, you go through a totally average hospital birth, you realize that sucks, it can be better. So how soon after do you get pregnant with your second? How far apart are they?
23 months.
Okay. And so you hire a medical home birth midwife.
So I interviewed a bunch of midwives, and I liked all of them, but I was looking for a sign, a feeling that who would be the best person to deliver. I'm still thinking I'm high risk, right? Just because I don't know. Yes, that was a textbook birth, and it was easy and it was perfect, but can it happen again? That birth definitely made me question everything. I questioned a lot when it came to medical advice, statistics, just the fear that they put onto you. They're projecting their own fears. And so I had a call with this midwife, and by the way, the other midwives were kind of like a little, I don't know. I want an OB to sign off on it or something, like they were worried about the liability, I think, because it's a little weird having somebody who has brain tumors want a home birth in a way. It's just medically scary, I guess. And she said, "It's not a problem for me. I feel intuitively like we can do this." And I just got this feeling over my body, and I just knew that it was her. She was wonderful. She's more on the spiritual side, more on the she wasn't too medical, you know, but during the birth, her attendant was a little bit more nervous, and Emmy, she came out not breathing, and the birth attendant made a kind of a big deal about it.
Wait, when
And
you say birth
like,
attendant,
and then you know how midwife, birth
you mean her
assistant,
assistant.
the
Okay, I'm
assistant,
with
yeah,
you.
the
Yes, yes,
assistant,
yes.
that's what I meant. So she made us get out of the birth pool, and you know, she kind of gave a little mouth to mouth and used the ambu bag. And we were just talking to Emmy the whole time, telling her to, you know, transition into her body and everything. And the midwife that I had, she had the same thing happen to her when she gave her first birth. And so I knew her story. And so I wasn't worried. I wasn't nervous, but I did kind of let this birth assistant kind of take over, which bothered me. Because again, I gave her authority, you know?
There are deep, powerful secrets to your own sacred experience of womanhood that no one in your life knew to tell you. The time has come to fully awaken the wise woman within you and to claim your place on the ancient path of supporting holistic women's health. You're well aware of the devastating reality that is modern fertility, modern menstruation, industrial birth, the way our society treats menopause, and really all of the rites of passage for women from start to finish. We are countless generations deep now with girls initiated into womanhood with deep, lifelong, toxic shame. Grown women have no idea how to tell when they're fertile, how to prevent pregnancy, how to address menstrual challenges without pharmaceuticals. There's no room for how to harness the wisdom and gifts of our cycle's phases. Women are afraid of their own bodies, and they teach this to their daughters, and their daughters teach it to their daughters. This just isn't good enough, not for me, not for you, and certainly not for our daughters. And here we are, together in this time, wanting to do better, wanting to be better, to break the shame cycle, and to leave our lineage injected with power, wisdom, strength, and self-love. Join us for the next round of the Blood Mystery School. Our highly coveted program is channeled and run by two long-standing sisters of mine, women who are core leaders within Matriarch Rising Festival and Free Birth Society. Nancy Lucina is a shamanic facilitator and medicine woman. Kristen Hauser is a woman's holistic health expert. Together, they take you on a potent 8-week journey where you walk the medicine wheel of your own menstrual cycles. Archetypes, so that you can learn to guide the women of your community through cycle healing of all iterations. You will address the spiritual, energetic, hormonal, and biological aspects of every phase of the female cycle, so that you are fully equipped to become the radical, sovereign cycle coach that your community really needs. The Blood Mystery School will pave the way for your career in cycle and fertility coaching, holistic women's health, and ceremony facilitation. This knowledge is foundational to any work in birth or women's health at large. We only run the Blood Mystery School once a year, so make sure you're on the wait list. The link is below. It is time that you walk with the knowledge all the women, and I do mean all, around you need to know. Let's be the ones that steer our bloodlines toward embodiment once and for all.
But it was a great birth. I actually had my whole family there, like my in-laws. my parents. I
Whoa.
almost, yeah, I almost wanted to show them what an actual birth can be like, because they never experienced something like that, and they were so fearful. And I almost wanted to prove to them that there's no fear. But it did. So funny, because it did take longer. It took 13 hours at first, because I was in my own head, because I was on display. It wasn't the natural way that you give birth, right? As you would normally give it, and it'd be intimate, and you'd be alone. And so I think the stress kind of slowed down the birth a bit.
But you're overall happy with that birth experience.
Happy with it, except for the fact that I feel like Emmy was, they kind of forced breath into her, and I can kind of see that in her toddler years. If you try to push her to do something, she's a lot more aggressive back. So her temperament is definitely different than my first, and I think that was her first experience
Sure.
earthside, so that makes sense to me.
So tell me about when you hear about free birth, and when do you start to be attracted to that and interested in that?
So my midwife for my second birth, I was also seeing my OB for a while during that pregnancy. And she kept planting these seeds of questioning why, well, why would you do that? Why do you think you need to do that? And so I started really, it opened my eyes. And then after that birth, she moved away. And I texted her and said, well, if I have another baby, what am I going to do? You moved away. And she said, you're just going to free birth. And I go, what the heck is that? And so she went into it. I said, and she's like, I'll root for you on the sidelines out here, but you're going to free birth it. Huh. Okay. So then, like a year later, my husband and I decide, okay, we're ready probably for a third. We get pregnant. And I started interviewing midwives, and none of them were available. And I was early too, but I meditated on it, and this spirit said, no, you're going to go your own way. And I realized that, oh, we are really doing this together, just me and you. I just can't believe that none of the midwives were available, and I'm so glad that they weren't.
Yeah, totally.
But so my previous midwife had free birthed her second child, and we had numerous conversations about Emmy's birth, and she's like, this is how I would have done it differently.
That sounds like a pretty unique midwife to be to be suggesting free birth.
Yep. And she analyzed Emmy's birth, and she said, oh, this is what I would have done differently. And this is when I think we overstepped, and this is when we should have trusted your intuition. And it was really cool to hear her say that. And she's just been a big advocate of that, of free birth and making me question things, but in a very gentle way.
I also respect, in this case, hers very specifically. I really respect, and it's a rare time I hear of a medical midwife openly changing and exploring how she could have done things differently. It's very, very rare that a woman, as a client of a midwife, would ever tell me that her midwife admitted that she could have done things better. That's really uncommon. So
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I think We've all grown so much from our free birth experience and like looking back on things, how we did it. So that's how I kind of learned about free birth. And then she told me to check out Free Birth Society. And I dove into the course. And then I got an email from you showing your last birth and how you waited when the baby wasn't breathing and you trusted. And then, the spirit came into the body and transitioned. And I looked back at Emmy's birth and I couldn't believe that I let somebody use an ampu bag and didn't just trust. But it opened my eyes again. So I feel like it's just been a series of nudges throughout each birth. And I came home, told my husband, I just watched this video and I'm gonna free birth. He goes, what? You what? What does that mean exactly? Wait, it's just me. So there was a lot we had to discuss. Well, how are we gonna cut the placenta? Wait, who's gonna catch the placenta? So he had a lot of questions, but once we talked through everything, then it was telling my parents, which is a really hard thing because I still valued their opinion. I still, went to them for advice on things, but this is something that I knew that this baby wanted, this baby chose as well. So it took a lot to get them on board as well. I sent them a lot of the information from your course as well, and that really helped ease their minds. Like the cord around the neck, that was my dad's biggest thing. Like, oh, my first two births didn't have a cord around the neck. Why is this coming up? It's like, I don't know. I saw it in a movie once, and it scared me. Oh, okay, okay, so. I didn't have it was a wild pregnancy. I didn't go get ultrasounds. I knew really nothing. I did know the conception date. I remember that.
I'm curious at this point, what is the status of your tumors? Are they benign? Is that the right word? Are you still engaged in the medical system for that? Give me a little update there.
Okay. So yeah, they are considered benign by most oncologists. Some oncologists still label them as cancer, but I would call them benign. They just grow. And then for me, I go on a low dose chemotherapy and they bring them down. Now, I've tried a lot of alternative medicine. Nothing has quite stuck yet, but I also believe that they're going to stick around until they've done the work that I don't know. I just feel like if I didn't have them during those births, I probably wouldn't have moved into free birth. Like I needed them to awaken me in a way. So yes, they would grow with each pregnancy. Then I would have to go on chemotherapy for a while to bring them down. But so unfortunately, I have to stop breastfeeding at like 2 months and go back on chemotherapy.
That's hard.
With Emmy, actually, I had just gotten back on chemotherapy. I had just had my first infusion and found out I was pregnant. So then I was really freaked out because my oncologist said, well, I don't think that the embryo is going to survive, and we don't know if it's going to have a bunch of birth defects and anything. I said, well, I'm just going to trust that this spirit came in for a reason. And even knowing what was, that I had one treatment and see how it goes. And I'm just so glad that I trusted that because she's perfect. They
And
just didn't know.
why is the reason to start chemo so early in postpartum? Just to manage them so that something, what's the thought there?
Well, because you've been off of chemotherapy for a year. And so they had gotten so big that, my brainstem was really, I don't know, squeezed. So they were just worried about what could happen. They're slower growing though. And I wasn't really presenting many symptoms other than the hairy loss, which I was okay with that being something that was gonna go with each pregnancy. It's gotten worse.
So is the thought that they would just grow exponentially?
Yeah, they will continue to grow unless
Okay.
I go on chemotherapy and bring them down, or
Gotcha.
unless I find some alternative medicine that does it, which
Okay.
I'm still on the hunt for.
Okay.
But yeah, so I would be like 4 months on chemo, 4 months off, 4 months on, 4 months off, after the pregnancy is. And then I go through a detox to try to get everything out and then get pregnant again.
Wow.
So, okay, so my husband really wanted me to have a birth attendant at this last pregnancy, my third pregnancy, because he thought he needed support in filling up the birth pool. And so I found a sovereign birth worker. She is the same one that Sparrow used, and she was wonderful. I mainly just had her prepare for postpartum, the herbs, and help with the birth pool. And I'm glad that I had her there for Mark. But this free birth was awesome because I did it all on my own. And I was a little worried because I have two little girls, and they were 4 and 2, and I didn't know how this was all going to go down because they're wild. And it happened in the morning, around 4 o'clock in the morning. I woke up and I was like, oh, okay, I think this is going to happen. I meditated, and then I told Mark, hey, this is going to happen. I got to get the birth pool ready. I just felt really good in the birth pool. It just really eased my muscles, and I don't know, just felt right my last birth, so I wanted to do that again. But he was having trouble with it, so we called the birth attendant. But during that time, I got in the jacuzzi outside, and so it was dawn and it was beautiful because I was out in nature, and that's where I really preferred to birth. Kids were still sleeping. I was just out there by myself, in it, and I remember talking to my baby about the birthing waves. It really felt like an actual wave. Like he was surfing through the wave, and he was like at the top, and then he would, come out of the barrel, and then it would go down. And then at one point, I actually had the thought and the feeling of, oh my gosh, can I really do this? It's the point of no return, and I don't know if I have any support. And I mean, this all this fear came up. And then I saw my mom in my vision. I was like, oh, this is what she felt. I like embodied her. She, really scary. Like she thought she was getting an epidural. She didn't get an epidural. So she had a lot of fear when she had me and wasn't prepared mentally for it. And so I almost felt like I was healing some generational trauma, is that I was able to talk myself down, talk myself out of it, and get back into with my baby. That was cool. And then I just felt like pushing, and so I came back inside, got in the birth pool. They finally had it set up. The girls were up. They started eating breakfast. And then they would come over and give me some electrolyte water. And then I said, okay, it's happening. And then push the baby out. It was a total of 5 hours. It was fast. It was beautiful.
And then baby breathed in their own time.
Yes. Yes. Baby was absolutely fine. I didn't have any of that. But I also think I had to go through that experience in a way to move me into the free birth. Like it all, like I could connect the dots when I look back. And then it got me to trust more.
Totally. Okay, to be annoying, you didn't have a free birth. You had a sovereign birth.
I had a sovereign birth,
Yeah,
yes.
which is amazing and epic, and it's not a hierarchy. And I really wish people would understand that. But you had a beautifully, perfectly supported sovereign birth in the presence of a sovereign midwife. And the reason I care about making that distinction is that is what midwifery should be,
Yeah.
you know, and it's not. And so it's important to me that we are naming things correctly so that we
Sure.
can bring back or move forward into the right true midwifery, which doesn't take anything away. And the role you and your husband wanted her to play was primarily for Mark.
Yeah, it was him.
And
It's all for him. Yeah.
right. And she did that. And a medical licensed midwife doesn't do that, can't do that. And so I just appreciate the capacity and the spectrum and the flexibility that a sovereign midwife can have, you know, because exactly, she didn't take anything away from you. Of course, you did it on your own. Of course.
Well, even that morning, I woke up completely deaf. Like I couldn't hear. I'm pretty
Whoa.
much deaf as it is, but like I couldn't hear anything, and not from my hearing aid.
Wow.
I certainly couldn't hear the hypnosis tracks. So this baby really, really wanted me to trust my intuition and just go within. And
Yeah.
it was great because that was also another crutch. You know, that I got rid of. Because that kind of brought you into like, can I keep myself calm during this whole thing? Because I really believe that when my muscles are calm, then it's an easier experience. It seems to be faster too. But when I'm stressed out, it takes longer. So that was kind of interesting that I couldn't, but I wasn't afraid. Like usually that would, I think that would make me really afraid, is I wouldn't be able to ask for anything. I wouldn't get anything back, you know?
So how would you say birthing in this way has shaped you, matured you, changed you?
Well, I haven't gone back on chemotherapy, and it's been 6 months. As I just don't want to engage in the medical system anymore. I should like take taking my time because I just could, I can do it all myself. Like I don't know. I just feel like I can heal my body myself. I don't need, I mean, yes, there's some need for medical intervention support at times, but I just have this new sense of empowerment that I don't want to just rely on what they see from an MRI. I've got and I just feel like I'm being divinely led, and I just need to keep trusting that. And it also has impacted the way that I parent too, as I'm a very I parent very differently than my parents did or any of those generations. It's just awakened me to more intuitive parenting. Yeah, taking things slower. I don't know.
So if you're not back on chemo, are you still nursing 6 months
Yes.
postpartum? Okay, that's a
Yes.
really big deal. You
It's a
didn't do that
huge
with your
deal.
daughters, right?
Right. It's a huge deal. I'm co-sleeping. That's very different for me. And it's so much easier. To just turn over, latches on, and then I get so much more sleep. Yeah, and like we just got over COVID and just being able to nurse him the whole time and also being part of your community and hearing all of the stories of people who've been okay with a high temperature, and that gave me more confidence to let this go. And I mean, they got over it so quickly because it didn't intervene. It was just my milk, and I'm just so grateful that my body can create this miracle milk for my babies, and regulate temperature.
Seriously. I just heard Zach Bush talking about how a new cutting-edge treatment in cancer patients is to heat the patient's body up into a feverish state and then give them very, very, very small amounts of chemo in a feverish state. And that from that state, they're producing more energy to heal faster.
Oh, that's interesting.
I know. I thought it was interesting.
Something to look into.
Yeah, I mean that's the extent of what I remember, but it was interesting. It was like, oh, that makes sense to me that you have more energy to heal in a heated state, right? And we know not to suppress fevers for obvious reasons.
Right.
Yeah. Well, wow. How old is this new baby?
6 months.
Okay. So it wasn't that long ago.
No. I
Well, is there anything else you want to share before we close?
don't know. I just want people to know that they need to just trust their body and not just what the medical team is telling you all the time. Like most of their statistics are off anyway. And when I was first diagnosed and I rejected all of the things that they told me that were going to happen to me, except for some reason I held on to that hearing thing. But and maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's part of finding more of the intuition is cutting out all the noise. And maybe that's what my body was doing. Like you got to cut out all of this distraction because you're not doing it yourself to get into your intuition. I got to take your hearing. Don't know. It's been quite the journey, but yeah.
So when in the past, historically, when you've done the chemo after a birth, your hearing gets better?
A little bit,
A little.
but not much. Not
Interesting.
enough to where, it has never gone back to where it was. It comes
Okay.
back like just a little bit, and then it'll go down a little bit when the tumors grow. But with each pregnancy, I definitely go down another level and another level. But that was something that we were okay with, and so now it's just like navigating this new normal. And I think it's actually been really good for our family. It's brought in my husband and I a lot closer because we've just had to problem solve and try and do things differently. And actually, communicating more with body language. And we use so many words, but for what? Like, you don't really need that many words
Totally.
to
I love that.
connect.
Well, I really appreciate your willingness to play with how this has also shown up for you and for your family, and how it has held gifts, because it would be very easy, and I'm sure you've had touch points of this, but it would be very easy to feel victimized and like it's unfair and complain and feel, super uniquely targeted, or the stuff that people go through. And there's really nothing right or wrong with that choice, but it is inspiring when we hear women who walk with what's even the right word? Challenges. I mean, who doesn't walk with challenges? You have your own unique flavor, as everyone does, but your choice to seek the gifts and really work with it and see how it's here for you is, yeah, I just really respect it.
was always that way. I think
Sure.
in the very beginning, I think I definitely took on more of the victim persona, and I think it's just been, that's why birth has been so powerful for me, because it gives me, it's the empowerment that I seek, and it's claiming that power back, because it was just taken from me for so many years. Yeah, and it was really important for me with the home birth and then the birth, my last birth, what would you call it, sovereign birth, I guess, that my two girls were there and that they watched, and that they weren't scared of it. They were really excited. They watched the whole time. They went baby when the baby came out.
Well, you changed a huge narrative in your family, because if you had stayed on the trajectory you were on, the IVF, the you're too, it's too dangerous for you to have a pregnancy, you could have so easily stuck with that. And then if you had been able to produce children through somebody else, that would have been the story told to them, and that would have been the family story. I mean, you did a huge pivot through the last 7 years.
Especially because, like, when I was doing IVF, we lost so many, and they said that my eggs were just abnormal, and I just and I was older, and so being able to get pregnant so quickly naturally, just by, and it's a lot of mindset. I mean, it's a mind game, I think, too. So yeah, I think that it really changed. It changed some generational stuff for sure.
There was just so many layers of fear projected onto your life story that you have alchemized, rejected or just like dealt with and alchemized and done a different way. It's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely have to reject a lot of what people tell you that's going to happen to you, for
I couldn't
sure.
agree more.
Yeah, your story is different, right? And I guess that's the same thing in birth. Like, when people tell you their birth story, or they just want to tell you it, and like it's all negative or something, and you just have to kind of reject, and you have to find all the positive ones, because your story is different, and it doesn't have to be the same as somebody else and what they went through. And everyone's on a different journey, so their birth, changes them in some in different ways. Oh,
Well,
cool.
thank
But I
you.
really appreciate your community, because if I didn't have that to go to, if I didn't have all those stories, all the podcasts, all the support, I don't know if I would have been as confident going in, and if I would have had the same experience. And it definitely helped also with, like, all the people, the support system I had around me that was really worried and really nervous. Because you need to tell somebody that you're just really not going to have anybody but just you and your husband, they freak out.
So what you're saying is go buy the complete guide,
Absolutely.
consider joining the Lighthouse. It'll change your life. We're here for you. Sincerely.
Certainly to deprogram from the medical system, which I was heavily into. I was even in medical sales for a long time, and I can't even believe I was that person.
Awesome. I love the growth. Well,
So,
thank you. Thank you for your
yeah.
time.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. You can support this podcast by donating to it through the link in the show notes below. And of course, leaving an awesome review on whatever platform you listen on. The more reviews, the more visibility the show gets. So let's spread the good word of Sovereign Birth. Don't forget, you can watch our podcast interviews on YouTube and see the women as they tell their birth and power stories. And you'll also find our viral free birth collection of epic raw birth videos on our YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed to our channel. We've always got a lot going on at Free Birth Society, and you can find out all about it at freebirthsociety.com, at Free Birth Society on Instagram, and opt in to my newsletter below.
We offer courses on free birth, authentic midwifery, the blood mysteries, as well as one-on-one coaching, in-person retreats, and of course, our annual women's gathering, the Matriarch Rising Festival. Our exclusive, private, vetted membership, The Lighthouse, is definitely something to check out if you're looking for a community of wise sisters to get guidance from and to meet in real life. Together we rise, sisters. We must speak our stories, fully claim our lives, and support one another. This is the living revolution, and I am so grateful to be in it with all of you. I'll leave you with our gorgeous Free Birth Society theme song, Wild Woman by Aruba Red.
I honor you for the wisdom you held, the ancient traditions of plant medicine and womb magic. I feel the spirit of the ancestors as I place my hands upon my belly. This sacred portal will be honored. Eons upon light beams of survival, withstanding the eradication of our power by design. I will not allow the separation of our young to be forced upon me. My sisters will no longer birth in captivity. The picket line redefined from burning our wild women to paralyzing us and drugging our babes. Strapped down in a clinical white bed, drying up the milk from our breasts, keep your needles. My family will never again be doomed to chase those dragons or your poison. We reject your fear. We choose love. Everything with intention. Death, ascension. I will fly and bring her back from the stars. Conscious consent.